When did that news come out, Pinto, that you just shared with me? Was it like recently that Aaron Rodgers was reported to have a broken collarbone for the Packers?
Well, it's been kind of talked about, but he came out, he has a radio show in Green Bay, and he came out and said that, yes, I have a broken collarbone, non-throwing side,
right,
mind you.
Left side, yeah.
And then the timetable for return is not set. Now, could be 4 weeks, could be the rest of the season, regular season, you don't know. I will say this, Brock Jensen, when he was a freshman, Wisconsin guy, broke his collarbone.
Yes.
Was back, I want to say within a month.
Okay.
So it is possible. So Packer fans, don't go jumping off a bridge yet.
There are Wisconsin people in the building today.
Yes.
Their eyes were bloodshot and red-rimmed this morning. I'll just say that.
Sad day.
It was clear that there was some crying involved with our friends from Wisconsin in the building. Some of them looked like they had not slept all night after the Packers lost to the Bears last night and Aaron Rodgers was injured. Just saying. I didn't know Packers fans cried when their team lost. The evidence appears to be there. I don't know. Let's go to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Let's talk to our friend Dr. Eric Johnson about e-cigarettes and just kind of recap some of the stuff that I think Dr. Johnson and I had talked about. Was it a couple weeks ago, Doctor? Was it a couple months ago? It was a while ago maybe we talked, huh?
Yeah, it's been a little over a month, Mike, but thanks for having me back on your show.
Are you a Packers fan, or what football fan are you?
No, I've been a Vikings fan for many years. I grew up in eastern Nebraska, and that's what we had on TV, them and the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Well, it's kind of a 6-1, half dozen of another then in terms of Super Bowl success since 1969, but that's a whole different story.
Yes.
E-cigarettes. Now, you might have heard Representative Phyllis Kahn is talking about trying to include them in the Indoor Clean Air Act in Minnesota so that they are banned in public places. She's not talking about in the privacy of your own home. She's not talking about banning them all, you know, overall. She's just talking public places. I'm sure you support this, considering that you're with Tobacco Free North Dakota, and we've talked about this before, but give us your take on what Representative Kahn is talking about here.
Well, sure. I think from a legislative side, you know that in North Dakota, a year ago, actually it was a year ago tomorrow, that the North Dakota voters approved the state smoke-free law, which did include e-cig. What's important about that is, to date, there's not really any comprehensive legislation that addresses these products. For example, in most states, minors can buy these products. And when you and I talked last time, our focus was on, do these work to help people quit smoking? The answer is, don't know. We also don't know anything about their safety. Some of these products have been on the market since 1976, but they have yet to generate good safety data or data to show us that they actually help people quit smoking. What they're counting on is people to have the intuitive feeling that this must be better than cigarettes. Well, might be, but it would be great to have some solid data to back that up.
When it comes to Representative Kahn's concern over secondhand smoke, because that's really, I think, what we're talking about here is, in addition to the person smoking them and the regulation and the FDA studies, I agree that let's find out everything we can about these things. But if somebody is sitting next to me at KFGO here, for example, and they're using one of these e-cigs and they're vaping or vaporizing or whatever the heck you call it, is it a danger to me sitting next to them, Dr. Johnson, if they're using an e-cigarette? Or is it strictly for the user?
Yeah, we don't know that.
Oh, okay. we don't know a lot about these things then, do we?
No, we don't. they have not fallen under FDA purview. Now, there's some question about that because 2 or 3 years ago, tobacco products became under regulation by the FDA, by national legislation. But these products really are an unknown, and they really don't fall into any clean regulatory environment. And that was one of the reasons why this was placed on the ballot for the voters to choose in North Dakota. Now, there have been some legislators who have said, well, we duped the public, we snuck this in. I don't think that's true. I don't think we duped 70% of the voters. But what I would really like, of course, as a prescriber and as a physician, I would like very much to have quality products to help people quit smoking. To date, we just don't have any solid data on these products. regarding their primary use or any effect they might have with people in the same room. They aren't water vapor. These products actually use glycerol compounds, which really, when we spray those into the air, that it's hard to know how those have effects on other people.
One of Representative Kahn's arguments against e-cigs is that she says that they glamorize smoking and they make young people feel like it's a safe thing to do or it's a good thing to do. You know, the attraction to young people is one of her arguments against e-cigarettes. And I said, when I had her on the program a half hour or so ago, I said, I'm not sure that's really a really strong argument against e-cigarettes. And she said, well, sure it is, because it's a health issue. Do you go along with that e-cigarettes in part should be regulated and or banned even more heavily because they could be an attractant to young smokers?
Yeah, I think that there's not much doubt about who they're marketing these products to. But at the same time, this also falls under the I don't know. I can't have it both ways. I can't say, boy, it would be great if we had more safety and efficacy data, but then turn around and say that I think that this should be a certain way, when in fact, we don't have data one way or the other. And I think that's why it's helpful for the states to be taking this up until the FDA decides to. And at the same time, kind of a secondary thing is it's an enforcement concern. I have a friend who's a security guard at the mall, and they actually had some issues with what are they supposed to be doing with these? Well, if they fall under the law, as cigarettes would, then it's a pretty clean enforcement issue as well. But I can't say, you know, just because I think they're marketing to youth that we should be using this law. But I can say we don't know enough about the safety and efficacy of these products to really say that they're useful in quitting smoking.
Are these things made by the same people who make cigarettes?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of these companies kind of started out as small operations. And a good number of them now have been bought up by the big three tobacco makers. So there's not much question that in the past, their history has shown that they're not really interested in safety or whether products are healthful. In fact, back in the 70s, they actually had an opportunity to engineer safe cigarettes and elected not to. So I don't think that they're going to be pursuing safety data anytime soon. But if they did, that would be great. Suppose 5 years from now we have data that says they work to quit smoking and their safety, we know what their safety profile is. That would be fabulous. But I don't know why in 35 years of manufacture we don't have that data now.
What percentage of the population smokes cigarettes nationally? Do you know that number, Dr. Johnson?
I do. Yeah, it's about 20%. And North Dakota is right about on that mark too, just a little bit less.
That's a low number. I mean, what was it historically? Because the belief, if you look back at the 1950s, the 1940s, it seemed like everybody smoked. I mean, cigarettes were in every ad. They were in every movie. My mom and dad both smoked cigarettes, and they were products of, you know, they were born in the 1920s. All of my relatives smoked. It just seemed like everybody smoked. Do you know what the historically high number was for that?
I do. In 1965, prior to the issuance of the first U.S. Surgeon General's report, it was 45% for adults over 18. And for men, it was a little over 50%, and for women, it was a little under 45. Hmm. But, yeah, sometimes we think, you know, we're not making any progress or it's a really desperate situation. Actually, the products that have evolved on the market in the last 15 or 20 years that do have safety data and do have data whether they tell us whether they work or not, those things are working. And public policy makes a big difference, too. Usually when a state starts a smoke-free law, the smoking rate will decline for the first year or two after that. The other public policy measure that's very effective is tax. That's not a very popular thing right now. But when you're looking at it from a reduction of smoking, those two things work very well. And in the public health sector and both in private health systems as well, a lot of the efforts that we're making are pretty good. It'd be great if we could get it down below 10%, because that would save us a ton of money, too. If we're looking at trying to control healthcare costs, we can't ignore this. This is a very expensive problem, even in a small state like North Dakota.
The name of your organization is Tobacco Free North Dakota. How many people chew tobacco? Because when I get out and about, I see far more young people, young men especially, chewing tobacco now than I do smoking cigarettes. And a lot of guys my age, if I go golfing or fishing or hunting, a lot of people stick a pinch of tobacco in their jaw and think nothing of it. What percentage of the population chews?
In North Dakota, it's about 10 to 12%.
Okay. So it's really, it's not a high number then. It seems like it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, in high school age, it's not much less than the adult use. It's definitely a product that is tends to be favored more by youth. That has really stayed steady, whereas smoking rates have really declined across all populations in North Dakota. Chewing tobacco has four times as much nicotine as cigarettes, so it's very difficult to stop. And just to show you where the tobacco companies have been with safety, this last legislative session, they were in there lobbying legislators, trying to get them to study a program they call harm reduction, which is basically getting people to switch from cigarettes to chewing tobacco, which from a public health perspective is nonsensical. But we actually had legislators who bid on that, and we actually had to do a lot of education to keep them from funding such a project. Whereas funding tobacco prevention and control altogether is known to be a money saver.
Dr. Johnson, thank you. I need to let you go because I'm up against the clock. Thanks for coming on again and informing us and educating us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. I really appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
You bet. Dr. Eric Johnson, he's with Tobacco Free North Dakota.